Hello, everybody. Dwayne McCochran here with the Community From Within podcast. And I'm driving home from work as usual. And today, what is this? September 16th. Monday, September 16th. 2019 is when I'm recording this. Just leaving work. Tough week last week. We had Hurricane Dorian after it devastated the Bahamas. Basically made a beeline straight for Nova Scotia. And while, you know, obviously we did not experience, thankfully, anything near what they got in the Bahamas. This was probably the worst storm I've seen in my 41 years here. I've never seen wind like that before. Hurricane Juan many years ago hit Nova Scotia pretty hard, but I don't think it hit our area on Cape Breton Island the way it did this time. I was sitting in the porch, my family and I, just watching it after the power had gone out. This was on Saturday, over a week ago, and watching the wind, it was almost as if the wind was coming from the top and pushing downwards on the trees. Like in the winter time when it's really stormy, really windy, our house will shake a little bit. We'll feel it. Laying in bed, you can feel the house shaking from the wind. The house did not move, not once. But it was really strange because the winds were coming from the top and pushing down. That's what it really felt like. Like it was so strange. But the winds pushing downwards onto the roof almost, like that. That's, you can understand why the house didn't shake, because it wasn't hitting it from the side on. It was sitting, pushing down, and we were very lucky that we had about six or seven trees knocked down all around the house, and our house is right in the woods. It's trees everywhere, some trees within a few feet of the house here and there, but nothing hit the house. We had one big branch off a maple come down and hit our woodshed, but it just kind of came down and rested on the roof. It didn't damage it in any way. But of course, power went out on Saturday, then it came back on the following Friday evening for us. Like, after the storm on Sunday, Monday, as you know, more reporting came in, there were close to 450 to 500,000 people in Nova Scotia without power, which is basically half the population. And as of, I think, Wednesday, that number had dropped to, say, 200,000, and it was down 150, by Thursday, down 100, you know. By Friday morning, something like that, it was like 30,000 people or something. I don't know, don't quote me on these numbers. But anyway, we lost everything in our refrigerator and the small freezer on the refrigerator. But we're very fortunate to have some friends who were able to lend us a generator a couple times. We borrowed it in order to charge up the deep freezers. And I was actually running the generator on Friday, charging up the freezers, when power thankfully came back on. We were better shape than most people in that we do have a wood stove, a kitchen wood stove that we cook on. We were able to cook, and we did fill a lot of jugs and jars and buckets of water for ourselves, for washing, for drinking, and for the animals. We have chickens and pigs that we need to give water every day to, and the dogs and stuff. And also when we borrowed the generator, we were able to fire up the water pump and fill up more buckets. Stuff like that. So we got by, but it was just, it was a long week, a difficult week. It was damp and wet for a lot of it. So, and then, you know, you get to the point where you're unable to wash dishes, so dishes start piling up, and the next thing you know, you're looking at, like, paper plates and plastic forks that we had lying around. And you can't do laundry, you can't take a shower. Trying to get things done, it wears on you after a time. I can't imagine how, you know, like, was it last year or the year before when that big, was a hurricane hit Puerto Rico that time? They were without power in Puerto Rico for some people for months. Oh, can't imagine. But, the friends of ours who lent us the generator, we're very grateful for them to do that, but they live off-grid. They have solar panels and battery systems, and they just are very careful with their power and everything. So in that sense, the hurricane didn't affect them any. Didn't affect their day-to-day lives. So it's something, you know, my wife and I have talked about moving towards that sort of possible off-grid scenario someday, and that would be certainly ideal, but we're not there. It'd be a while before we could ever attempt that. In the shorter term, a generator, a really good quality generator, is something that we have to consider as a next purchase. I had talked about this before. I have too many projects on the go all the time. Too much stuff lying around. Too many ideas to work on. And a couple of years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, I don't remember. Anyway, my father, many years ago, ran a service station, a gas station. Then he sold it. He went on. He did a few other jobs here and there. And then he went back and he bought not a gas station, but just an automotive repair shop. He bought it from a gentleman who decided to sell what he had. And as they're cleaning it out, the guy who was selling, his name was John Pete. He passed away a couple of years ago there. John said to me one day, he said, "Wayne, I have these old generators. You think you can make something of them?" And there's two old generators. I don't know how old they are. They're little Briggs and Stratton engines, something like you'd find on a lawnmower. And they're little yellow round. It says McCulloch on it. That's the brand name. McCulloch Mighty Might or something. Anyway, they got to be from the 70s or earlier. I'm not sure. He said he didn't know if they ran. It could have been 20 years since they've been there. I don't know. I thought between the two of them it might be enough there to make one running generator. I wasn't sure, but it went home, it went in a pile with everything else. And for the last 2 years, you know, it's always in the back of my mind, like projects are. I'd love to get around to fixing one of those up and making a generator, so if we needed it, we could have it. Never did. So on, I guess it was Saturday, after we'd gotten the power back and everything, of course, we're starting to clean up a bit and get things organized again. So I'm going to take a few minutes. I want to drag those two generators out and just played around with them. One of them, I took the spark plug out, cleaned it up, put it back in, put some fuel in the tank, switched it around to clean it out, dumped that out in a bucket, put some more fuel in it. I took the air filter off it. It was disintegrated. It was a spongy kind of air filter. It was garbage. I just took the air cleaner part out, and put a little gas down the carburetor, and started pulling on the pull cord. And after about 20 pulls, it made a kick. A little more gas, a few more pulls, and the bloody thing started up. I could. would not believe it. It started. Now, it didn't keep running. It ran for as long as maybe whatever gas was in the carburetor there. But I could see down the carburetor the, I don't know the term for it, the piece of metal that, it's like a circular piece of metal that, that goes back and forth. Like when you adjust the choke, that's what you're moving in a carburetor, that little flap. That was stuck. It was stuck in the open position. So I don't know enough about small engines and stuff. But anyway, that was, it's rusted, seized. So I got some work to do there. But the fact that it ran, and by the way, and so it ran long enough, the first time I thought, oh my God, maybe I could, obviously the engine's running, I wonder if it's actually generating electricity. So I went and I did it again the second time, I put more gas down the carburetor, it started up, and I plugged in my circular saw, and sure enough, it ran. So the generator works. The other one, that was without touching it, that was just one of them, I just cleaned it up a little bit. The other one, I did the same thing, went through the whole rigmarole, I didn't get a kick out of it, because I couldn't see any spark. It looked, I couldn't see the spark coming from the spark plug, it could be a dead plug. When I put my finger on the spark plug wire as I was testing it, I could feel there's a little bit of a pulse there. So I think it might be a dead plug. I might get a new spark plug and try it out. But that would be absolutely amazing if it actually ran. But I mean, these are only small. They're 2,000 watts. So you could run a freezer. One freezer off of each of them or something. But, you know, I have to buy a proper generator for sure. But between, you know, the animals, the electric fences, there's a freezer in the workshop, a freezer in the house, you know, we come in handy. Or even if I had to go, you know, on a different part of our property where we don't have access to electricity and do some work with power tools or something. Might come in handy. So, there was that, and the other thing last week, you know, as difficult a week it was, not sleeping right, I think I told you I got the CPAP machine, trying that out. Well, I couldn't use the CPAP machine any night, I was sleeping like garbage, so my caffeine intake went through the roof, and I also really cheated on the sugar intake as well. So generally speaking, last week was a complete failure on the willpower front. I by Friday, I woke up Friday morning, I was done. I was just completely toast. And I just, you know, we just really needed the power to come back on by Friday. And thankfully, Friday evening, about 5:30, it was 145 hours that we went without power, but it came back on. And then we were able to, you know, it felt like we were able to do something again and live a normal existence again. Saturday, we spent a lot of time cleaning and organizing up the house and getting, you know, getting things back on track, and we still are. And it was like one thing after another. It'd be dark, you find a flashlight, trying to do something, you're looking for this or that, you can't find it, you're moving things around, it was chaos. So we're trying to get back to normality. But also last Wednesday, I was offered a spot in the Mabu Farmers Market for this Sunday. Actually, funny enough, the week before I was offered a spot at the last minute, and I said yes, I could do it, but then of course the market was actually canceled because of the hurricane on Sunday morning. September 8th, I guess, that market. But this week, so Wednesday, I said yes, but Wednesday no power, Thursday no power, Friday no power. Didn't know what I was going to do. In the end, Saturday, after getting some things done around home, I was able to get some dog treats baked. Not as much as some previous times, but I had enough to get me there. I had enough stock to get in the market and to replenish the stock at the store where we carry them, at Wayne's Variety in Jiddick. Check out goodboy.ca, goodboy.ca, where you can find your Good Boy dog treats. So I went to the Mabo Farmers Market yesterday from 11 to 2, and decent crowd. I was really impressed for September. Down a little bit from the July and August months, but a good crowd. The very beginning, first 20 minutes, half hour, I don't know if I sold anything. I sold one, and I was getting a little bit worried, but then after that, say around 11:30, going on 12 o'clock, it started picking up, and sales were pretty decent. I was happy with it for yesterday. But a lot of repeat customers, people coming back saying their dogs love the dog treats, so I was really happy to hear that. More inquiries about cat treats, more inquiries about other dog treat flavors, so lots of things to work on there. But it was nice. That gave me a little boost yesterday on the morale side of things. But it's a very gray day today as I drive home, and it's raining, and that kind of sucks the life out of any sometimes. Just think about all the things you want to do when you get home outside, let's say. Hard to deal with that. I just thought I should give an update there on the aftermath of the hurricane hitting Nova Scotia. I checked today, there's still 137 homes without power right now. So there's still people here on Monday. So that's been 10 days without power. Obviously I've been talking about my no sugar diet and my caffeine limitations, and I completely failed on that front last week, but good news is today starting that again, and no sugar once more, and limiting my caffeine intake again. I just feel like absolute garbage, like my stomach is just completely messed up. But anyway, so yeah, I guess, I don't have a theme necessarily for today's podcast. I just wanted to share that stuff with you. I do apologize too. One thing I did today is I went out and bought another set of headphones with a microphone to record this today. And this set of headphones, this microphone basically, is going to remain in the car for the purposes of recording the podcast only. The problem is, in the past, I've been using the same headphones for going in the house and listening to them there, or listening to the headphones when I'm working outside, and they're just not lasting. So this set stays in the car for recording. Hopefully I don't get that noise. I don't know what happened. The episode I recorded on reserving your name and registering your business. It's a long episode where I talk about all the screens on the web pages, how to do that. When I listened to it, it sounded fine. Then I uploaded it and I listened to it, and I hear a loud buzz. It's the worst one. I'm sorry. And I haven't gone through and listened to all the other episodes that I posted recently. Before I posted them, I listened and they sound okay. But this one in particular, I posted, and then after I posted, I noticed a buzz there. So if you've heard an episode, or you try to listen to something and there's a buzz, I'll be going back to fix that somehow, or re-record the the episode or something, or just I'll get rid of it. So I apologize for that. That's my fault for, I should have just kept one set of headphones or something in the car for this purpose only. But I haven't been doing that. And it basically the microphone or the cord or something has been getting damaged and causing the extra noise. So hopefully this one I picked up today will work. That noise a bit, that buzzing. If you have any questions or comments at any time, please go to communityfromwithin.com. Use the contact form there to send me a note or ask me a question. I really want to get out there and do the episode where I record while picking up cans and bottles. I hope to do something with that very soon. Maybe next weekend. Get that underway, that the major project, the art project. I don't know what else there is right now. It's almost too much. Oh, the federal election is underway. So in Canada, we have a law that mandates there has to be a federal election every 4 years if there's not one triggered before that, based on how the parliamentary system works. Or if the election is not called before 4 years up, every 4 years there will be an election. So we know that the election has to be held by at least October 19th. So just about a week ago there, the election was called. So, excuse me. As a fan of politics and stuff, this is kind of an exciting time. Seeing a couple signs going up side of the road. Candidates out campaigning, trying to get their name out there, doing interviews. I mentioned before, I think I ran once in a federal election in 2008. So after going through that experience, I empathize and sympathize with all the candidates. I always, you know, have respect for anybody willing to put their name out there and give it a shot. If they genuinely want to, you know, improve their community, improve their riding. Don't always respect what everybody does or says, but to do that, you know, it's a big step. It's rewarding and dangerous at the same time. Rewarding in that, you know, it's a valuable experience. You meet a lot of people. You learn about the political process. You learn about how, you know, all the legal aspects of how it all actually works, and having your riding association, and how money has to be raised, and the, you know, the restrictions on everything, and how everything's accounted for, etc., etc. It's also dangerous for you individually, I suppose, because, you know, the people who are supporting you, they're telling you that, you know, trying to say here. I mean, obviously, they want you to win. They're telling you, they're giving you, trying to give you a boost all the time. They're telling you how awesome you are and how great an MP you'd make, or MLA, or whatever it is, whatever level. And it's an ego boost for sure. And I mean, like anything else, that's something you have to be careful with. I tried to be as realistic as possible when I ran. I wanted to do well. I set certain goals. I didn't have any unrealistic expectation of actually winning. That doesn't mean I didn't do my absolute see how people can. And if, you know, depending on the political situation, if you're not following it, you're not realizing how things really are out there, you know, it can crush you. It can crush you like a pop can. Crush you like a fly. Or an ant. If you don't win, and you actually believe 100% you're going to. So for all the candidates out there, you know, be true to yourselves, and I hope you're all in it for the right reasons, no matter what party you're with, and I wish you all the best of luck. And I hope it is a rewarding experience. Now, I think I'm going to cut a short little episode today. And I'll leave you all be. Cheers, everybody. That's it. Go to goodboy.ca to find out where to get your dog treats. And go to communityfromwithin.com. And use the contact form there to get a hold of me. Cheers.